Thank you, Paul. Good morning, everyone. Certainly good to be with you. As has already been said, and I think we all realize what a beautiful day it is. It was a good trip coming over, and we look forward to spending the day with you here in Kansas City area. Good to be with you. Well, here we are, observing the final day of the Days of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days, the bread we have eaten hopefully has been unleavened. We certainly make our every effort to make it unleavened and to avoid the leaven. That oven by itself, of course, is insignificant. It is what it portrays that is so vital and so important, and that is the reason we observe and we keep this festival during the Days of Unleavened Bread. When we avoid the unleavened bread, we avoid the leavened bread, and hopefully the bread that we eat is unleavened. The putting of sin out of our lives is an acknowledgement of a need to become more Christ-like, not only in what we do, but in our entire attitude and in our entire outlook on life. In the manner in which we live, what is significant are those things that this pictures. And of course, producing fruit then, producing results in our lives that are good, that are appreciated by not only those of us in God's church, but of those we come in contact with in the world as we live in this world and have contact with others outside of the church. But why does God require our observance of these days? What are the lessons he wants us to experience? What are the lessons he wants us to understand and comprehend regarding this festival? The lessons we learn from observing these days does not stop at sunset tonight. They will continue through the days, through the weeks, the months, and the years ahead. They are a platform, if you will, on what we will continue to do and continue to build on. These days reveal to you and to me that God is unable to use us just as we are. He cannot accept us as we are. Changes have to transpire. Man's very nature resists and is opposing to the ways of God. Therefore, change is mandatory if we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. After repentance, the course of one's life is changed. Excuse me. We are baptized, and upon receiving the Holy Spirit, we commence the lifelong process of change. By acknowledging the need and realizing help and strength from God is needed and required in order to attain success. The very fact that there are two holy days during this festival shows, first, God must initiate the process. The final or 7 days show God's will with our consent will be completed. A process which he has initiated. By our observing these days, we are showing God that we see a need and sincerely desire to change. Not just for the sake of changing, not just for the sake of conforming, but to be more like him, to be more like God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It then becomes our deep down desire and lifelong ambition to put away the old nature that we all possess, and to put on the very nature and attributes of God. Change, and especially sudden change, can destroy us if we do not understand the need for change, and if we are not prepared for change. We are preparing for the greatest change ever to occur, to be changed into the sons and daughters of God. Our entire life should be focused and centered around being changed. What must we do to prepare? Preparation must be made in advance. The key is to be made ready. Turn to the book of Ezra. Ezra, the seventh chapter. Excuse me. Ezra is one of the most respected men in the entirety of the Bible. Josephus, the Jewish historian, says of Ezra, and I quote, "He was conversant with the law of Moses and was held in universal esteem on account of his righteousness and his virtue." That's the end of that quote. Ezra was among the Jewish captives, of course, taken to Babylon. And his lineage goes back to that of Aaron, the priesthood. So here in Ezra 7 and verse 6, we read this. Ezra 7 and verse 6. "This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him." So Ezra was ready. He had prepared. He understood. He knew the scriptures. He had become acquainted with the scriptures. And he was ready for change. History itself confirms that in 538 BC, Cyrus took possession of Babylon, and he acquired the Jewish captives. 2 years later, in 536 BC, Cyrus issued the decree to rebuild the temple at Jerusalem. And that temple was completed because of the preparation that had been made, the understanding that had been acquired in 515 BC under Darius. Now, verse 10 of Ezra 7. Why? For it says, Ezra 7 and verse 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." The important thing to remember, and the lesson for us, is that Ezra had made himself ready. He was prepared when the opportunity presented itself, and when the children of Israel were allowed to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. He was acquainted with and he understood the scriptures, living by them, and was ready for change when that proper time arrived. Ezra had been prepared and was ready. Ezra took advantage of opportunities that were presented to him and as change was afforded. Paul wrote to Titus about being ready for change. Also how to apply and how to cope with change. Let's go to the book of Titus. Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 3 and verse 1. Titus 3 and verse 1. Paul says to Titus, he says, "Remind or teach them. Teach them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work." Verse 2, "To speak evil of no one. To be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men." These are instructions that Paul gave to Titus that we are to apply in our lives today. This is how we make ourselves ready. Verse 3, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. This is our past. This is human nature acting. Verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Or he is in the process of saving us. And we will be saved through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to man, or to men. Yes, we need to be prepared. We need to prepare and be ready. Paul places special emphasis on being ready, of preparing and then taking advantage of change when the opportunities present themselves. We must first come to see and be convinced, be convicted that the ways of man are not right. Your way and my way leads to death. It leads to destruction. Whereas the ways of God lead to happiness, abundance, and eventually the gift of eternal life. That is the road we're on. That's the path we're following. That is our goal. That's why we're here today. That's why we live this kind of a life. Preparation and being ready are vital elements. Let's rejoice in our observance of all of God's holy days, which picture his plan, his complete plan, as we prepare for the greatest change to ever become, that will ever occur in the history of man, to be born as children of God, sons and daughters, in the very family of God, members of a divine family. Let's prepare and let's be ready for the greatest change ever to occur, being born into the very family of God. That's why we're here. That's why we live. That's why we draw breath. Let's be grateful and thankful.